Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Friday edition, SJS. Great to have you with us. We've made it through the week. And now we get to the weekend. Stop at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Great news, huh? Boy, when you go into Brewers Outlet, you are going to, first of all, just be overwhelmed by the choice and variety. We mentioned beer? Oh, yeah, plenty of it there. And soft drinks, they have great snacks, a wide variety of snacks, hot roasted peanuts, and there's no doubt, without question, that Buhner and Kevin are both belly up at, as we speak, I believe, at the pickle bar. Kevin?
No, I have not made it. The pickle bar will be making its return here very shortly, and Bob already has a spot reserved.
It's not a buffet, Bob. But that's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm at the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Ice is in at Pagula. Ice has been put down, set to go. We'll be talking with Guy Gadowski, the Nittany Lion hockey coach. He's going to join us here in the Sunbury Motors Studio to talk about the program, where they're headed. A lot going on with the program. Obviously, it's 8 days to the opener between Penn State and Syracuse. We'll get into that a little bit more, plus more of our high school discussion. I want to find out from the fans today what makes a high school Friday night special to them at 800-795-9565, besides, of course, bringing headphones to the game. That was a compliment to you.
Actually, it was funny. I was thinking to myself when you were saying that, well, me, of course, but I didn't say it.
Yeah.
Actually, listen, I know why people listen to the broadcast. They just listen for Horty. I understand that.
That's fine.
Quite honestly, so do I, but you know, so I get it.
Yeah, there you go. So, there we are. But I want to know what makes it special for you on a Friday night. Is it the band, the experience, seeing other people, the town, coming together the way it does? The fact that your hometown team is represented. There's a wide variety of reasons. I'd like to know what makes a Friday night special, since a week from tonight is the opener. So what makes a Friday night special to you in central Pennsylvania in the late summer and into the fall? 800-795-9565. All right. So there you go. We'll come back with more in a moment. But first, above the noise, here's Dan Patrick.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a 2006 Ford Explorer, 4-liter XLT, new rotors and brake lining, just $10,995. 2011 Ford Fiesta, 4-door sedan, $12,494. 2009 Honda Accord, 4-door LX, just $13,998. 2006 Pontiac Solstice, 2-door convertible, super low miles, only $15,520. 2011 Hyundai Sonata, 2.4-liter hybrid for just $17,887. And a 2010 Honda Odyssey, 5-door EXL, $22,775. Call 888-536-8017.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24-7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Most wonderful time of the year.
I actually interviewed Andy Williams once.
Right around this time?
It was around Christmas. It was around Christmas. Interviewed him. He was doing a show at the Jordan Center. He was bringing his show in from Branson, Missouri. Wonderful guy to talk to. Very classy. Talked about the TV show he had and the act he put together at Branson and what he was bringing in at the time. You know, things like that, just the general. But it was certainly an interesting individual to talk to. He was not singing about the deadest weekend of the year like this is.
That's not true. Not true.
Okay, what's going on this weekend?
Loads and loads of scrimmages tonight and tomorrow in high school football.
And they count toward what?
I know what you're going to say. And you know what? It's week three in the preseason of preseason NFL football, which actually means the starters will play an entire half.
Yes. Yes. The Felix Jones trade has made everyone around it. They feel that just swung the balance of power in the AFC North.
Listen, I think that's a trade that benefits both teams. The Eagles need a linebacker who actually knows how to read and react. And the Steelers need a running back that's, well, basically able to run. It's a win-win.
Actually, the one thing that's big this
week... You've already gone to Brewer's Outlet, haven't you?
He started early, yes.
You don't think that's a win-win?
And he wasn't at the pickle bar.
I think it's a nothing trade.
Yeah. I think the big thing going on is the Pirates at San Francisco... One game ahead barely of St. Louis, two games ahead of Cincinnati. We've got a real race going on in the Central Division of the National League.
Well, I mean, those three teams are all going to make the playoffs.
They should. Simple as that.
Yeah. I mean, the question is which team wins it and which two have to play the one-game playoff, which is the scary proposition. You also have to come down the stretch and – I think you'd like to have it decided one way or the other, maybe 5 days out. Yeah. That way you know how to set up your pitching.
That is what the Pirate announcers last night about 1 o'clock in the morning as they were Pirates who were winning 10-5 out in San Francisco were actually talking about. And, you know, who do you throw in there in that one game when it's literally sudden death or sudden victory?
Liriano.
Yeah, exactly.
Liriano. I don't think there's any doubt who you throw. No. He's the best pitcher they have right now.
Yes,
Liriano should be the guy. If they had a one-game playoff, Liriano would be the guy I'd throw. I certainly wouldn't want to be stuck in a situation where I had to throw Louis Tiant on the last day of the season, was stuck with Mike Torres in a playoff game.
That's true. So there is a little bit of sports actually happening, and happily it involves the Pirates and the National League Central, which I follow.
Yeah, see, there you go. There's a lot of stuff going on this week. It is the most wonderful time of the year.
Kind of, sort of, maybe.
You can tap all you want. It's not changing my mind.
I think next week's a little more exciting.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't say it wasn't. It's still August.
Next week is... It is like being a kid in front of the Christmas tree, ready to open the presents. Friday night football, Penn State football. The NFL is kind of lagging behind a week or so, but
U.S. Open tennis championship underway and rolling.
Oh, absolutely!
At Flushing Meadow, which is there's nothing like night tennis at the U.S. Open compared to. I mean, the atmosphere is completely different. Completely different. That's why I felt badly turning down the passes I had to Arthur Ashe Stadium on Friday night. Felt bad about it, but I mean, I have to. I don't, you know.
You don't have a choice.
Right. Don't have a choice.
Of course, you could have sent Kevin and me in your place.
I had a
previous engagement. That's actually not the reason why.
Oh.
No, the Penn State game is not the reason why. I was offered the tickets because of the Penn State game.
Because you're going to be in the area.
Because I'm going to be in the area, but I don't get to the area until about 1 or 2 in the morning, and that's the reason why I couldn't go. And I've always wanted to experience night tennis at Arthur Ashe. I think it would be incredible.
It would be. You know, if you watch Wimbledon, where it's tea and strawberries and cream and a kind of a rather sedate crowd in the middle of the hot English afternoon, and then you watch it on Arthur Ashe Stadium, where it's kind of a...
Is there such a thing as a hot English afternoon?
Absolutely. Stifling
hot. This year there was.
That's true. That's a good point.
This year was in the 80s. This year was in the 80s. Yeah.
You know, the thing about it is, That's kind of like a rock concert pep rally wrapped around the tennis court. It's just very noisy.
I'm picturing that image. That's interesting.
No, you go there, it's like, I mean, the noise there, right? And the fans getting into points and things like that. I mean, instead of quiet, please, first service. Like, oh, for goodness sakes, you know. I mean, you got a guy throwing 98 miles an hour at your head. Meanwhile, it's like, you all have to be quiet as you toss the ball in the air yourself and hit it.
For years, I couldn't understand why they kept saying juice. Do they have a drinking break or what in the middle of that? With the accent and everything. I was really young, okay?
Yes.
I was really young when I first saw tennis. I want to go back to this trade. What is wrong with this trade, Steve? Why aren't you at least a little bit interested in this trade? This seems like a sensible deal.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with the trade. It's just it's pedestrian.
I mean, both teams have a need.
Right. But it's still a pedestrian deal.
Steelers have abundance of linebackers. They don't have any running backs.
Right, but it's a pedestrian deal. I mean, it's really, you know, it's not going to be a balance, change the balance of power kind of trade.
Well, no, but I don't think that was the point. The point is to be able to have somebody that, as I said, knows how to play linebacker in Philadelphia, and then have somebody in Pittsburgh that can actually run the football without fumbling it away every three carries.
This is not a Super Bowl kind of make it or break it deal, that's for sure.
No.
I'm a bitter guy.
Not bitter. Realistic. I mean, Dwyer rips off some great runs. He's, you know, he puts his shoulders down. He can really run through things. But then the third time he carries the ball, it usually ends up in the defense's hands.
Okay.
Okay. And Le'Veon Bell, they don't even know when he's coming back at this point.
4 to 6 weeks.
They don't even know when he's coming back at this point because I refuse to admit that.
4 to 6 weeks. He has what is a foot or high ankle sprain.
Obviously means early October. What, 3 to 4 opening games? Without a running attack, old Ben's going to, they're going to load up on old Ben on that.
Well, fortunately, they have a powerful, dominant offensive line, which should be able to change the balance of power in the whole thing. I think that's, and watching the first two preseason games, that's what really struck me about them.
Wait. Who are you talking about?
That's right.
Who are you talking about? Did you watch a different game than I did?
I didn't watch any game so far.
There literally was no offensive line in front.
Little League World Series, by the way, Mexico beat Panama 4-3 last night in 7, but Connecticut was rained out against Washington last night in the Little League World Series. So that is working toward conclusion in South Williamsport. And Pirates won. The Phillies had another dramatic walk-off. Dominic Brown delivered the game winner. And right now you have the and Vin Scully is back for a 65th year next year. He made the announcement today that he is coming back.
Hi, everybody, and a very pleasant good afternoon to you, wherever you may be. It has finally arrived after all the arduous days and nights called spring training, an endless rehearsal. It's now time to play for keeps.
See, that's what I love about Vin Scully, the poetry that he adds to it.
Right.
I remember a famous quote from Bob Prince, the famous Pirates announcer, and he said he was offered the job in San Diego, California, to do the Padres as their play-by-play, and he said, there's only one problem with that. To the east, I've got mountains. To the south, I have Mexico. To the west, I have the ocean. And to the north, I have Vin Scully.
Right, that's an issue. Well, Vince Scully is, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but obviously he's someone who set a standard in the industry.
Oh.
Nobody should wake up and say, you know, I'm going to be Vince Scully. Just be the best of who you are. There's only one Vince Scully.
Absolutely.
There's only one Kevin Herr.
Everybody's happy about that.
Especially the police.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. They get it done for us all the time. Beverages. Did we mention beer? Beverages. And on top of it, great snacks. Fresh, hot, roasted peanuts, and soon the return of the pickle bar.
Can't get enough of those garlic pickles.
Incredible. There's always I always love the contest you and Kevin have at the pickle bar.
It does get sloppy and messy. There are napkins and bibs passed out in advance.
Well, the sloppy, nasty thing is on most of the contests you guys have. So, really, I kind of find that to be a standard.
Yeah.
And also, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And joining us today in the Sunbury Motors studio is the Nittany Lion head hockey coach, Guy Gadowski. We welcome him, and it's almost that time. October 11th, the countdown is on. Ice is down now at Pagoula.
Huh. Well, it's another step that makes it a reality. I mean, throughout this process, you walk by and you pinch yourself, and now it's coming. When the ice is in, you actually can see activity, so it's a big step. It's been surreal this whole time. I just can't wait till October 11th.
Talk about the locker room. There are certain things that are simple things along the way, but if you do the right touches, it means something to a player. What are the touches in that locker room that are right for a player that's currently here and one you will recruit?
Well, I tell you what, there's one that I want to tell you about because we actually stole it from Mr. Pagoula and the Buffalo Sabres. I love it. I think it's cool. Whenever you walk into hockey locker rooms, there's a bit of a tradition that you never step on the logo.
Right.
Okay.
As then, Justin Bieber,
which was brought
out because I've been in the Blackhawks locker room.
Exactly.
Room,
so right. And then there was a time where they sort of used the floor as a rink, and so people would walk on it, and so there's a little bit of ambiguity whether you step on things or you don't. And now what Buffalo did is they had their logo under what looks like ice and lit up from underneath, and it was just tremendous. It was a great touch. I think it obviously sent the message that you are not to touch this one,
right.
And we stole that from Mr. Pagoula and the Buffalo Sabres. And everybody every recruit now that's coming to the locker room is just, wow, that's really cool.
Right. For the fan going in there, fan's point of view, what are some of the amenities that they'll have in there that will get them juiced and want to come back besides the great product on the ice?
The greatest thing to me about Pagoula Ice Arena is the student section, and the fan is going to notice that right away. When you come in to see a game for the first time, you're going to see this huge wall of students with a band right in the middle of it, and it's a big wall. It's actually as steep as code will allow, and to me, that's the greatest thing about the rink. That's the biggest thing I'm looking forward to, just seeing the student section, just see how much fun they have. I think it's going to be something everybody remembers when they walk in, they see the atmosphere, and they walk out, they're going to remember the big student section.
An improvement is made in a team in its off season in parts that you don't get to see, really.
Absolutely.
You won't see the results till you see them on the ice. What are the reports you are getting from those who are allowed to see?
Well, I tell you, we have a gentleman named Robert McLean, who is he was the strength and conditioning coach for the Colorado Avalanche. He's been training hockey players since 1991. This guy, he's an MMA fighter. He is the best. I just love him. And he's an MMA fighter, but he's also a research nerd. He spends more time educating himself. I think he's one of four people certified in a certain hip area of which hockey players, it's very important. So this guy is phenomenal. And the results that he gets with our athletes in the off season is just amazing. So we will be much bigger, much stronger, much more powerful, much more confident than you saw even last year.
You will have a style in mind. Every coach has a style, but you inherit players.
Yeah.
And when you inherit, with all due respect to them, some are square pegs, round holes, but they do the best they can for you.
Yeah.
Are you now getting to the point where you're integrating more players that fit the style recruiting-wise that you ultimately want to play?
You're absolutely right. And we purposely, last year especially, said we do have this team. We're not going to change our style to fit necessary personnel. We are going to work on our foundation and make sure that they understand how we want to play. And although some of them might feel like a square peg in a round hole to start with, we'll eventually embrace what we're doing. And I think you saw that happen. I mean, you go from losing our first game to AIC and beating Wisconsin at Wisconsin. So there was certainly a lot of improvements made. But now with our staff's been together a long time. We know exactly what we want. We know what wins. We know what's fun to watch. We know what develops. We know what NHL scouts like. And we have a vision in mind of what the Penn State fan is going to love, what the student body is going to love, and what's going to be successful. And so you will see more and more people that feel like they're a perfect fit right off the bat, rather than having to go through months of sort of mental training to get there.
What do you consider to be the state of high school programs in this country that then dovetail into junior programs versus the junior programs of Canada?
Yeah, it's interesting. We get that a lot. And it, the truth is that whether it's here in the United States or Canada, 90% of all Division I hockey players play junior hockey, and it's a great thing on its own. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. It's a tremendous experience. They draw great crowds. They're being, you know, you get drafted in the NHL out of them, so they're great programs. And I think that when you talk about high school, there's a little difference. In Minnesota, that program, that high school program, is very successful. Okay. And other parts of the country, they seem to have less emphasis placed in high school hockey as get them off to junior right away or prep school. So Pennsylvania is interesting. We want to get the very best Pennsylvania players, and we're going to get better and better. As Pagoula Ice Arena is more successful, so is our youth programs. We're going to get great players from Pennsylvania, but as of now, they still have to go to junior. We don't care if it's here in the States or in Canada. Just go play, develop, so that when you come and you against the, hey, in the Big Ten, you're going to be playing against the very best there is. So we need we need athletes that are very well prepared.
Just having two sheets of ice in a town or an area means a lot. And I'll just relate a quick story. And I've related it before, and you know the story. A kid that grew up one street over from me is a kid named Craig Janney. Well, they put in a thing called twin rinks in our town. Well, as a little kid, he got in there, and he ended up making the Olympic team. He was in the NHL for at least a dozen years, and so forth. I mean, that's what two sheets of ice can mean in a town. Get them out there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, everybody's talking about what this means to the varsity program, which is huge. It's wonderful, but I think the impact is going to be equally as impressive to the community. And what you mentioned, we have youth hockey players that are starved for ice. We also have figure skaters that are starved for ice, and old-timers hockey players that are starved for ice. And the students, the great student body, always wants ice. And everybody, I can't tell you how many times I've been approached and saying, hey, we need more ice. What can you do?
Right.
Well, now, as of October 11th, we'll be able to do something about it. So it's going to be fantastic for everybody in this community.
There's also two sheets of ice in there. And, of course, with two programs, two varsity programs, just from a scheduling and a practice point of view, so that everybody's on the same schedule all the time, what does that mean for routine?
It's great for, obviously, Mr. Pagoula wanted the building built right in the center of campus so that it was convenient for the players to take advantage of everything that's in there. Well, because we do have two ice sheets, we don't have to rotate schedule. So academically it is huge, and obviously that's the reason we're here. Number one, we want to get great students that graduate and become great Penn Staters, and certainly having two ice sheets is huge for their academic success.
You mentioned academic success, and your team has had very good
3.27
academic, really good. It's also a situation where, and you've dealt with it your entire career, but it's a split semester situation. How careful are you in scheduling in early December versus then what you want to do taking off with the Big Ten after that?
Yeah, hockey's tough because this is the first time actually that we're going to have a conference schedule that backloads. So in the past, the other leagues that I coached in, we actually would play league games even in October. So this is the first time that we're backloaded more like basketball does.
Right.
So it's a unique question. Do you want to load up? You want to take an easier load in the second half when it's mostly conference. However, hockey's unique in the fact that you never have one semester. I mean, both semesters are important, as you know. You can get to the NCAA tournament by having a great first semester.
So
when you look at it on a national level, both semesters are very important.
You have UMass Lowell coming in here in November as an example. I mean, that's the kind of RPI.
That's right.
That you need to build in that part.
Absolutely. So you can say, geez, the second semester is going to be very important for the Big Ten, so we're going to do it, you know, it's going to be harder in the first, but then you're missing out on the opportunities of a Union and a UMass Lowell and some of these teams that, as an RPI factor, would be huge for making the tournament.
Right. The Big Ten Network and its influence. The fact the Big Ten Network leaks over into Canada as well. The importance of that for Penn State and the other five playing it.
It's huge, not only for Penn State and the other five playing it, it's huge for college hockey. We have an education battle with Major Junior, as I know you are very well aware of, but a lot of people don't understand that kids that play Major Junior hockey, north of the border are ineligible to play college. And there's a bit of a battle to get the best ones. And what happens sometimes is across the border, they're not as well educated about NCAA rules as we are here in the States. So you get a lot of kids that would love to have played college hockey that were already tainted, already taken by major junior teams, and once you play, you're ineligible. So this is going to be huge for Penn State. We're going to have exposure. Penn State and the other Big Ten programs are going to have exposure to national broadcasts that are unprecedented. No other conference has done that in college hockey. But what also is important to all of college hockey is now these young players in Canada are going to be educated and get to see what a game at Pagoula Ice Arena looks like. Yeah. And they're going to say, I want to do that, rather than finding out about college hockey after it's too late when they are already part of major junior.
Yeah, this is the time in the history of college hockey. It's maybe the best time ever to be a part of it because it's really exposed properly for the first time.
You're absolutely right.
Which makes a big deal. You took the tour around the state. You played up in Wilkes-Barre, played in Hershey, played the Philly game, played a couple in Pittsburgh. Then the NCAA Frozen Four was at Consol. Mm-hmm. What did the tour in combination with that do for the profile in the state?
Yeah, it's been really interesting, and that's something I guess I underestimated how big and how well Penn Staters support Penn State everywhere you go. I mean, I know what we expect here, and last year at Greenberg Arena, we had a pretty good expectation of that. But we didn't know what was going to happen. We already set a record at Wells Fargo Arena in Philadelphia, a record for the largest regular season college hockey game. And that's tremendous. Our first year, and Penn Staters are coming out to do that. It just speaks a lot about the passion and pride of Penn State. And I tell you what, everywhere we went across the state, it was just wonderful reception.
What kind of leadership have you developed within your classes now? Because everybody's new to it, but now you're a little more ingrained in it. And it always helps a coach when you have some strong leaders that can take care of a couple of things in the locker room.
Boy, I wish I could take credit for developing any of this. What happened is we had a young man named Tommy Olchek, who was so well aware of this, of the big picture, that said, even from his recruiting trip, that I really am intrigued and attracted to the fact that I get a chance to build a foundation. He talked about how down the road, 10, 15 years down the road, he wants to be really proud of what the program is doing. He really had a strong understanding of that and has been operating under that premise his entire time. He's a 4.0 student.
Yeah.
He represents himself so well. So I would love to take credit for this guy, but I can't. He just came at a whole different level. He was a mature freshman. He played, I think, 4 years of junior hockey. And he's just a very mature guy who, as you can imagine, with his father who is broadcasting, this just he's been around the game and around representation so well. He just could not be a better representation of our program and a great example to our student athletes. So I think we have tremendous leadership, but unfortunately, I can't take an ounce of credit for it.
Which is fine. It just says something about him. That's okay. But you also have to recognize it, too, as a coach, that there's a guy that other people naturally gravitate toward.
Well, and I think now with the example that he's set, and we have tremendously high-quality people, I think you're getting more. His attitude and philosophy has really perpetrated throughout the team. And now I'm equally proud of several of our members as leaders, not just hockey players.
Hockey is deeply ingrained in tradition. That's why, I mean, the NHL Network does a great series called Day That Changed the Game. For example, going from 6 to 12 teams was wow, okay? It was a big deal. College hockey, the Wisconsins, the Minnesotas, Michigan State, they were in different leagues, ingrained in those leagues and had their rivalries set. What does it tell you about the foresight of the conference and the leaders at those schools that when Penn State came in, they decided – having a Big Ten conference, despite being ingrained in tradition, they wanted to go this direction.
I tell you what, I played in the WCHA with Minnesota and Wisconsin.
Right.
I coached in the CCHA with Michigan, Michigan State, and Ohio State. And so I'm very well aware and very much respectful of what they've achieved. And they have been leaders. When you say they've been leaders of their respective conferences, you're not kidding. I mean, they really have been.
Right.
Not only on the ice and in success and championships, but in terms of what happened off the ice. And they led the way in what they wanted. And you've always, when they did have the opportunity to cross conferences, when Minnesota would play Michigan, it was always a huge deal, but it was always a non-conference game. And now, with those teams coming up against each other every year, four times, all of us in the Big Ten. I mean, when you know how it is, when Big Ten schools play each other in anything, it's a big deal. Yeah. And I tell you what, the hockey programs that have been leaders in their respective conferences and want to be the king of the hill, now they're coming up against each other. I tell you what, it's going to be fantastic. So the vision of it is that really when Big Ten teams play each other, the eye of the nation will definitely be on us.
Which now brings me to the next step of this. What does the brand Big Ten mean to college hockey?
You know, it's something that I've learned about because we didn't have that in college hockey. And growing up, I didn't understand the significance of it. Yet everywhere that we've been, not only in this state, but as you travel around the United States and now after the Big Ten Network in Canada, Big Ten means something. It means professionalism. It means exposure. It means quality. Mm-hmm. And I think in hockey, it certainly, without question, means the very top competition in the nation. So when you go to Pilgul Ice Arena and you see Big Ten hockey, you are very confident you're getting the best, the very best mm-hmm. that there is. So what it means around the nation, it already has a ring to it. It already means a little bit different, and it means a little bit different in the quality of the players, the quality and success and tradition of the programs, and a little bit different in terms of exposure and professionalism. So it's a very exciting time to be in college hockey and a very exciting time to be part of the Big Ten.
Whenever you and I have these discussions, I never fail to bring up your staff because I always want to remind the fans of the people that you have surrounded yourself with that are important to the product they end up seeing.
Yeah, well, they're huge. Obviously, we've been together. Our coaching staff specifically has been together a long time. Keith Fisher and Matt Lindsay are road warriors. These guys are so well respected. And from what they achieved at Princeton, obviously set records in winning percentage, wins, championships, everything you can imagine. They did it a very difficult place, and they're taking that philosophy here. One of the things I really appreciate about them is I promise you we're bringing in quality people. Yeah. We've never taken risks on that fact. Everybody that you're going to see in a hockey uniform at Penn State is a quality person. I really appreciate that about them. They've got a great work ethic, as does Bill Downey, who has played here.
Yep.
He was director of hockey operations at Harvard, so he's a great fit for us. He's another tremendous work ethic guy. And I can't tell you, Adam Sheehan's our equipment manager from the NHL. Robert McClain, we talked about, his two Stanley Cup rings. Mike Rizbecki is now with us. I know I probably said that wrong, but he has hockey background. He's going to be great for our marketing. And hopefully someday we'll have an announcement of a new voice of Penn State, too.
Probably ought to do that pretty soon, shouldn't we? Up to you. Might as well do it now. I think we're very proud to announce, at least I am, that the new voice of Penn State men's ice hockey is Brian Tripp. You could not have made, in my opinion, a better choice.
I know you were going to say that. Brian Tripp, we're so excited because I've been here now. I've heard about this young man for probably 2 years.
Yep.
He has a lot of fans and a lot of fans in very high places that have been very vocal about what a talent this young man is and what a work ethic he is. And when you asked about my staff, I think everybody, I didn't get a chance to mention Justin Rogers, who's our athletic trainer, Matt Caracaba, but everybody that we have seems to have a really strong work ethic. And every 2 years ago, I heard about this young man and his work ethic. He obviously knows the business extremely well. He's been trained by the best. He has the best mentors. But everybody talks about not only what a talent he is, but what a work ethic is. And I think it's such perfect timing. Here we are. This is going to be the new era, Big Ten hockey, and we get a new era of the voice of Penn State. And he is a guy that knows Penn State through and through. He knows the business through and through, and I tell you what, this guy has some fans in big places.
He does, and there's going to be at least, my understanding, at least a dozen stations on this network, which is going to be fabulous to get the word out there. And it's always important that you have trust between announcer, coach, and so forth. And obviously, he has great respect for you, but I can tell you I have great trust for him because that part is very important between coach and announcer. Very important.
It is. The thing is, people, whether they're our parents that are back home in whether Alaska or British Columbia or Alberta or California or Las Vegas, I mean, they will get their information from the voice.
Yep.
And Brian Tripp, when he was interviewed by everybody, I mean, everything came back of what a solid person he was and an understanding what you just talked about. Yep. I think he's going to be a great asset to our program and to our staff. I can tell you already, he's a great guy to hang around with.
Yep.
He has, and you hear this from everybody, people in high places, people that just know him. I mean, we are so 100% sure of this guy as a character and as a talent that it's a great step for our program.
No question, Guy, and no question about that. And he'll be an outstanding choice. Guy, thanks so much. Appreciate the time you gave us. Guy Gadowski, head hockey coach, Nittany Lions. Next half hour, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. We'll talk about the Titanic Jones trade that has swung the balance of power in the AFC North. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Well, we get to the top of the hour. Next half hour, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. We'll talk about Bob's Pirates. We'll talk about Kevin's Steelers. And maybe we'll talk about a team you like as well. In the final half hour, the Kevin Herr rant of the day. Bob, I know you live for this moment.
The excitement just builds in this last hour as we await what Kevin has to say. And, you know, it literally is 7 days, and Kevin will be warming up the vocal cords for Shikellamy Brave football. And we're starting to get excited here about high school football and Penn State football, as are, I think, legions of fans up and down the Susquehanna Valley.
Oh, absolutely, and they should be. Looking forward to it very, very much. It is that time of the year. Something I want to talk to about the fans. And that is, what makes a high school Friday night special to you? I think it's different for different people. At 800-795-9565, 800-795-9565, here on SJS on News Radio 1070 WKOK.